Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your word. We thank you that it is indeed bread sent from heaven for us. What we will be studying today is not just words on a page. It's not just like any book on this earth. This is a special book. It's a book that contains the spirit and life of Almighty God. So we thank you today that you inspire and lead us into everything that we will learn today. We thank you for truth that makes free, that breaks bonds, that sets the captives free, because you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from all our destructions. I believe this is what's capable in your word, Lord. So we thank you for it, and we receive it with hearts that are ready to receive the life-transforming, anointed words of God in Jesus' name. And everybody that believes that said,
amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, you may open your Bible to Luke chapter 16 this morning. We began last week on a new series that I think we'll be camping on for a good portion of 2021. And rightfully so, because we're living in a world that is shaking up right now. There is a lot of things in this world that are getting shook up and are in the process of being removed, as the Bible told us things would occur on this earth. So I believe that the Lord put on my heart for us to begin focusing on something that cannot be shaken, something that is everlasting, something that does endure forever, and we're talking about the kingdom of God in this place. So what we began talking about last week, and we will continue on with this week, is this message of the kingdom of God. I believe it's important for us as we begin talking about this that we need to understand how much of an emphasis is placed on this particular subject in the entire Bible so that we can stir up our hearts, stir up our desire to learn more about this kingdom. So we're going to get into talking about what it is, when it is, and answering all these questions I'm sure you have, but we need to first move into talking about it is. In the Bible. It is a big part of the scripture. So we started off, in my opinion, and the most important thing to realize, what did Jesus preach? That's what we talked about last week. And we found out from the mouth of the Master himself exactly that the kingdom of God is the message that he came to proclaim to us. We went through many different scriptures that described that Jesus went about all the cities of Judea, of Galilee, in Jerusalem, and so forth, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we found out that when you study the four different gospels, the kingdom of God was all Jesus talked about. He would say, the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. He told parable after parable, attempting to describe this kingdom to his covenant people. Amen. And in doing so, he emphasized this kingdom to a people that were ardently expecting this kingdom to come in their life. But he described it in a way that wasn't what necessarily they were expecting. They were looking for a national kingdom. They were looking for their natural oppressors to be removed and their Messiah being a physical king that would sit on the throne in Jerusalem. But Jesus came to proclaim a kingdom that was first unseen that will eventually be seen. And this was the gospel that he came to proclaim. We saw in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus came and said out of his own mouth that when people tried to keep him in certain cities, he said, I must preach the gospel of the kingdom to the other cities also. And then he went on to say, it's for this purpose that I've been sent. So straight from the horse's mouth, Jesus said, this is why I'm here. It's to preach the gospel of the kingdom everywhere that I go. This is God's purpose for putting me on this planet. So if it was Jesus' purpose, that has not passed away. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and he will continue to be proclaiming that message through his church today. Then we looked at Mark chapter 1, I believe it's verses 14 and 15, where Jesus came preaching this gospel of the kingdom of God, and then he described to us in verse 15 what this kingdom message is. He says, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said, repent and believe in this gospel. So this is, in a nutshell, what his gospel was. It was, first of all, to tell the Jewish people, the time is fulfilled. And how many of you know that was good news to the Jews, because they had been waiting, they had been praying for this to happen, and Jesus is letting them know it's now here and it's imminent. And he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's accessible. It's within your reach at this point. And then he told them to repent, which we'll get into today, and then told them to simply believe in this gospel. So Jesus, being anointed with the Holy Spirit, was anointed to do what? Preach the gospel to the poor. And then we're told in the Beatitudes what this gospel was. He said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So this is essentially everything Jesus came to preach and teach. But what I want to move in today is that this message was not just Jesus' message. It's actually the New Testament message. So let's look now at Luke chapter 16 and verse 16 and look at a very powerful scripture that corrects a lot of false theology, false doctrine that is in the world today. You know, there is a large demographic of people out there that believe that everything Jesus preached in the four Gospels was just for the Jews, and it's not for the Gentiles under our new and better covenant. And I'm here to tell you today, that is not true. That's heresy. The truth is revealed to us in this scripture. Notice this. Jesus was speaking, this is red letters, and he said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Now, there's a big misunderstanding about what this verse means, so let me teach it line by line for you today. He starts off by saying the law and the prophets were until John. Now, you need to understand something, that this was the terminology that was used back then to describe the, what we would call the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. You know why they didn't call it the Old Testament? Because it was the only Testament. There was no New Testament at that point, you understand? So to the Jewish mind, they equated what we call the Old Testament as the law and the prophets. Now, of course, there was more contained under the Old Testament. We also had the books of poetry like Psalms and Proverbs. We also had historical accounts like 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings. But this was the way that they would describe essentially what we would say is that first half of our Bible, right? So that what he's saying here, Jesus says, the law and the prophets, or we would say the Old Testament, was until John. John who? John the Baptist. Okay? Now, when you study the Gospels, do you know what you find out? In the Gospels, essentially a lot of them began with this man we call John the Baptist coming on the scene and preaching to the people, right? So what that tells me is God knew where to put that blank white page in your Bible separating the Old Covenant from the New Covenant. I'm talking about that white page between Malachi and Matthew. Amen? So it began with John's message and what he was coming on the scene and preaching. But let's continue. It says, since that time though, since the time John the Baptist came on the scene preaching to the people, the kingdom of God has been preached. Now, I think this is interesting because just as Jesus used different terminology that we would use to describe the Old Testament, calling it the Law and the Prophets, he also used different terminology of what we would use in describing the New Testament. What's he call it? The Kingdom of God. So what that shows me is the Kingdom of God is the New Testament message that first John the Baptist brought on the scene, was continued on by Jesus, his disciples, and we're going to see today, went all the way to the very end of the book of Acts. So I'm going to take you in on a little journey today. We're going to take you through several scriptures in the New Testament to prove to you today that this message was not just Jesus's. It's yours. It's mine. It's Paul's. It's John's. It's all of theirs. So now, let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to go through some scriptures here in Matthew chapter 3. And you know where I'm going. We're going to start with this man named John who came on the scene. Now, if we were to poll many different Christians and say, what was John the Baptist's message? What would be the one word answer you would get from people? Repent and repentance. And while it certainly did include repentance, as we're about to see, that's not the entire message that he preached. Look at this in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying..." So there's no question about what he was actually preaching. It actually tells us what he actually had come out of his mouth. The first word is, in verse 2, repent. And then he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So help me now, what was John the Baptist's message in the wilderness? It was repentance, but it went on to tell us, "For the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, I've come to learn in my relatively short walk with the Lord that repentance is one of the most grossly misunderstood messages in the body of Christ. If you were to have people define what repentance is, their idea is, well, I felt sorry for the bad thing that I did, so I wept and cried and I came before the Lord and I told him how bad I felt what I was doing, and I asked him somehow, some way to help me not do it again. That's the way the majority of the church thinks about repentance, but I'm here to tell you the message of repentance is incomplete if you don't not just tell people what they're to turn from, but also what they're to turn unto. You know, repentance is not something that we should have happen in our life because we feel bad about something we did bad. You know, sin is actually not just something we do bad. Sin is something that we do wrong. And you might wonder, is there a difference? There's a big difference. Because a lot of times people look at sin as simply being, well, it's a bad thing, it's an immoral thing, it's something that's wrong that we need to get out of our life. But it's actually missing the mark. When you look the word sin up, it means to miss the mark. So what that tells me is, we actually, if we're sinning, it's not that we're just doing something bad, it's that we're missing the mark of what God intended for us to do. The law says, thou shalt not. Grace says, thou shalt. In other words, there's things that we're supposed to be doing. The law would constantly tell us that you don't touch this, you don't go there, you don't do this, you don't do that. But grace says, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt love one another even as I have loved you. Thou shalt bear much fruit and glorify my Father in heaven. And there is a big difference between those two mentalities. Negative goodness is only religious. What do I mean by negative goodness? I'm talking about simply me not doing something makes me good? No. What makes me good is when I bear fruit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the new birth that has taken place in my life. So this is the mentality we should have. So when we sin, we're simply not doing the right thing. We're doing the wrong thing. So when he says here, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, John was not coming preaching repentance simply from the standpoint of, you need to feel bad about what you did wrong. He came preaching repentance saying, there's something better to turn to. And that's why our message is so important, because our message then becomes, it's not just about telling people don't smoke or cuss or chew or go with those that do, and then you'll be as holy as me. No, the message is there's a better way. There is a kingdom that's accessible to you, and there's life that comes through it. It's like preaching to the addict. It's not just about laying the drug down. It's about taking a new drug. Oh, praise God, that don't cost you nothing, that has no side effects, that has no hangover with it. It's beautiful. It's perfect. I'm telling you, this is coming from somebody that used to do a whole lot of hardcore drugs. There's not a lot out there that I didn't do. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I found that there is a new wine, praise God, that can satisfy like nothing this world would ever try to give me. None of it can offer. So when I stay full of God, I stay full of fulfilling what God has called me to do. I'm experiencing the kingdom of heaven. So this is the message John the Baptist came preaching. It was repent, sure. Turn, change the direction you're going. Learn to think a different way. Do things differently. But don't just turn aimlessly. Turn to something that is accessible to you. The kingdom of heaven. It's experiencing God in your life. I like to use this example when it comes to the difference between law and grace. It'd be like me taking Levi, particularly when he was a younger person. If I took him to go get our car serviced, I went to the auto shop and we were just going to get it serviced. And Levi, of course, being younger and being a child, what's he going to want to do? Play with the tires, play with the oil, get out there and just do all these different things that he shouldn't be doing because it can hurt him, it can hurt other people, right? What's the best way to handle that as a parent? Is it for me to say, don't touch that, don't do this, don't do that? Or is it, Levi, come sit on my lap, tell me about your day, tell me what's on your heart. Through the relationship, through the fellowship, he is, by virtue of that, doing the law. So it's turning to a kingdom, to a relationship, to a person and having that in my life. And that's the message John the Baptist came preaching. It was the message of the kingdom of God. And of course, we know what happens. John ends up getting locked up in prison, right? So go to Matthew chapter 4 and look what happens after that. We briefly looked at these verses last week. Oh, praise God, I feel like preaching this morning. Hallelujah. This is good news. This is good message. Hallelujah. And Jesus, when the Bible tells us, when Jesus heard that John was locked up in prison, did you know that's when his message began? He wasn't saying much till that point, but then Jesus shows up on the scene, and it says in verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many of you know that's a word-for-word same message that John the Baptist was preaching? Showing us that sometimes it is appropriate for us to turn around and say the exact same thing we know the anointed word has said to us. Jesus came preaching the exact same message, and then it goes on in verse 23 saying, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the what? The gospel of the kingdom. So this is what Jesus went about preaching. And so what happened was, this message of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, morphed into gospel, to good news of a kingdom that is now accessible, that you can turn unto and have in your life. So Jesus then picked up the mantle that John the Baptist began, the preaching of the kingdom of God, and he began to proclaim the same message. But this is what I think is interesting. After John and Jesus after him, did you know even when Jesus was at the height of his ministry here on the earth, he wasn't the only one preaching this message? Go over to the Gospel of Luke and let me show you some verses here. I'm going to take you a few scriptures today, praise God, and we're going to look at this message of the kingdom of God in our lives. Now, it says in Luke chapter 9, let's start in verse 1. Now look at this. It says, then he called, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. But notice verse 2. He sent them to what? Preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he didn't just send them out to go out and perform miracles and have the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating through their lives. He actually told them, I need you to proclaim something too. And I can tell you right now, the only thing they were going to be preaching about the kingdom of God is what they had heard Jesus saying. Amen? So they're proclaiming exactly what they heard from the Master himself. And somebody will hear this and say, well, that's good, Trey. You've established the fact John the Baptist did it, who was considered to be the greatest prophet that had ever lived at that time. Jesus said that. Jesus, the Master himself, preached it. And then his 12 apostles did it. You know, with this mentality of, oh, the apostles did these signs and wonders. The apostles were called to do these things. Well, I'm glad you bring that up today, because let's go to the next chapter. Look what happens next in Luke chapter 10. And I love this part right here. Luke chapter 10, you know, after he calls his 12 and sends them out, then he did something else. He called the 70 disciples. So if you can't think to the level that we were preaching to you this morning, Pastor Robert started it, Minton talked about it, of how loaded you are and how the kingdom of God is manifesting through you, and you can't see yourself much better than you do, you should at least be able to see yourself as one of the 70. That's not even the people that were the closest to Jesus, amen? And notice what Jesus did. He told them in verse 9, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Which is interesting to me, because they're performing the same signs, wonders, and miracles the 12 apostles did. It's the 70 doing it. And they're proclaiming the exact same message they were. So I think we're established enough this morning to know that this is the message that came forth during Jesus' ministry, right? But then a question then would come up of, well, that's great, Pastor. I can honestly see that the kingdom of God was the message that was proclaimed by Jesus, his followers, and John before him to the Jews. But I don't see a whole lot more about the kingdom of God being proclaimed to the Gentiles out there after Jesus rose from the dead. And you know something? You're actually right. There's not a lot being said about the kingdom of God beyond that point. There is a little, and we're going to look at the little bit, but I'm going to prove to you why this morning you don't see the same gospel being described through Paul that you saw through Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts, the first chapter. You guys tracking with me this morning? Praise God. This is good news. Now, I love this right here. Jesus, by Dr. Luke, shows up after his resurrection, appears to his disciples. We see many different descriptions of that in the four Gospels. But here in Acts, we have a different description of what he did during these times. Did you know that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he actually spent 40 days with his disciples? And you know, you don't even have to question what he was doing during these 40 days, because look at this in verse 3. It says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, or his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the what? The kingdom of God. So get this, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples preaching them one message. Seems to me like we at High Point Church might be able to spend 40 Sundays preaching on the kingdom of God if Jesus was able to do it, right? Amen. So notice what he was preaching though. This is what's important, the terminology here. What was he speaking to them? Of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Things concerning, or you would just simply say this, things that were about the kingdom of God. So in preaching the kingdom of God to them, he wasn't just teaching them the kingdom of God like necessarily we are today. He was preaching to them all the things that pertain to it, all the things that were concerning it. And this right here becomes super important to get, because like I had somebody say to me recently, they said, man, I sure would have loved to have known what Jesus taught about the kingdom of God for those 40 days. And you know what my response was? You don't have to wonder. It's in the epistles. It's in those letters that are written before. Well, but it doesn't say much about the kingdom of God. That's why. Because he was preaching to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So everything you see, Paul, Peter, John, and all these apostles proclaiming in their letters are not the kingdom of God itself as a whole, but things that pertain to that kingdom message. Like, for example, when you study the New Testament, you'll find out Paul had his own gospel. He actually said, this is my gospel, right? And when you look it up and you look the word gospel up, in Paul's ministry, you find out that there was a predominant terminology that he used. And you know what it was? It was this word right here. It was the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. And what did we learn last week? We learned that the word Christ is not Jesus' surname. It's not his last name. Christ means something. And what does it mean? The anointed one, right? But many people don't go beyond that because they don't understand. But basically, he was anointed, yes, but anointed for a purpose. Anointed like David was to be king. So to the Jewish mind, the term Christ was a reference to their soon coming king. So the Messiah was the king of the Jews. And you remember when Pilate had Jesus before him? And what was the question that Pilate asked him? Are you a king? And I love Jesus' response. It says in John chapter 18, he said, "You say rightly that I'm a king, for it is for this purpose that I have been sent, to be the king of the Jews, king of the Gentiles, and ultimately the king over all the earth." That's what we're having very imminent to us right now. Amen. So when you preach, though, the gospel of Christ, as Paul did, guess what? You're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Why? Because in preaching the king, you're preaching the kingdom of the king. Amen? In fact, I actually got this in bullet points, and let me read this to you real quick. Things that pertain to the kingdom of God. And we're going to preach on these things in a lot of detail coming up, but I want you to know something. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Grace is the provision of the kingdom. Love is the life of the kingdom. The Word, I like this one, the Word is the constitution of the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is the power of the kingdom. Salvation is the employment and benefits of this kingdom. And righteousness, peace, and joy are the way of the kingdom. I could go on and on and on, but what I just declared to you are things that pertain to the kingdom of God. So when we preach grace, when we preach faith, when we preach Jesus, we're preaching the kingdom of God because they are all simply things that pertain to said kingdom. Can I get an amen? So now let's continue on in the book of Acts because there are actual references to this kingdom message. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Excuse me, Acts 8. You ever heard of Philip the evangelist?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I love it. Now, this was not the same Philip that traveled with Jesus in his ministry. This is another guy, and that's important to understand. Because what it shows us is this message was not just limited to Jesus' closest followers. It wasn't just the 70, it wasn't just the 12. It was passed on by them to other people. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." So we see from Philip, he was preaching the same message. Now let's look at the great apostle Paul, the apostle of faith and the apostle of grace. Go to Acts 19. Acts 19. Because he's one of those that we really need to see it in his message as well. Because there's a lot of people that hang their hat on what the Apostle Paul preached. I had one person tell me one time, they said, "I believe in the Pauline epistles." I said, "Really?" That's like the person that came to me one time and said, "I'm blessed to be Baptist." I said, you're blessed to be a Christian, brother. Not your denomination, not what your belief system and your creed is. You're blessed to be a Christian, praise God. So hanging our hat on just what Paul preached, what Paul preached is important, it's significant, it fulfilled the word of God, but there's no way to discount the other apostles and everything they came to proclaim. But in order to establish this for people that are really big on Paul, look at Acts 19 and verse 8. It says, "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God." So Paul was doing it too. And he did it a lot like Jesus did for 3 months. So don't tempt me. I can preach this series for a long time, praise God. Amen. Look at Acts 20 and let me show you something else. I love this verse. Paul had a pastor's conference. with Ephesus. This is pretty much what this is. It was a pastor's conference. He called all the elders to come to him. And look in verse 24. After he tells them, hey, I'm having the Holy Spirit prophesy through these various people that trials and tribulations await me when I go to Jerusalem. And I love this because notice Paul's attitude. There is an attitude of faith that the Bible tells us we all should have. Amen? And this is why it's me. Don't come and poor mouth me with everything that's happening in the world around us and this nation and things like that. People don't usually like my response to those things. I'd be like, you act like God fell off the throne. You act like what God said is not even true. I choose, me and my house choose to believe what God said. And it's an attitude we need to have. Like David had it, Paul had it, praise God. Look what he said in verse 24 after he said all these trials and tribulations that awaited him. Most people, verse 24 would say this, so we cried for unending hours and lost sleep. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? So that I may finish my race with joy. And look at this. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. And notice he describes this ministry. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And somebody will say, see there? Paul's gospel was not the kingdom of God. It was the grace of God. Wrong. Read the next verse. Verse 25. And indeed now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the what? Not the grace of God, the kingdom of God will see my face no more. So what Paul was declaring here is, yes, I've been given a stewardship to declare the grace of God that many people had never seen before, but don't be mistaken, I'm still preaching the same message Jesus was preaching. I'm still preaching the same message all the other apostles were preaching. It's the kingdom of God that I declare to you. I'm just sharing with you simply something else about the kingdom of God. And let me now share with you something that the Lord really cemented this in my heart with. When I was studying these things, I shared with you last week how the Lord revealed this to me about the kingdom of God being the message of the New Testament. He took me to a verse that I'd never given much attention to. And guess what it is? It's the very last verse in the book of Acts. Go to the end of Acts with me. Acts 28. Now the way Acts ends is with telling the church how the Apostle Paul dwelt in this house when he had gone to Rome, you remember, and he was going to stand before Caesar. You remember that? And all this process, we're in the process of that when this was written. And he would actually receive people into his house. It wasn't a normal prison that he would be staying in, which was a lot of suffering, a lot of discomfort and stuff. This was more of kind of like, hey, we're going to just kind of lock you up in this house. You're free to do kind of what you want to do while you're there. But I want you to notice, when people came to see him, I want you to notice what he said to them. Look at verse 30. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Verse 31, the last verse of New Testament history. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So the Holy Spirit showed me from Luke 16:16. That it started with John, Jesus picked it up, the kingdom of God's being preached, it was even picked up eventually by the Apostle Paul, and then he showed me, I strategically placed this at the very end of everything that chronicles early New Testament church history to show you the kingdom of God is the Alpha and the Omega of all New Testament doctrine. It's how it began. But I'm not going to dare say it's how it ended, because it hasn't ended yet. Notice one word that is surprising for its absence in this verse at the end. Does anybody see the word amen at the end of the book of Acts? Like all the other books of the Bible have amen. And you know why? The Holy Spirit strategically left it out to show us there is no so be it, it's so being it. We might be in Acts chapter 29 right now for all I know. We could be in Acts 1144 right now for all I know. But the book of Acts is still continuing. And if the book of Acts is still continuing, guess what else is still continuing? The gospel of the kingdom of God. It's still relevant. It's still for us today. So if I haven't convinced you yet, let me take you over to Matthew chapter 24. You should be convinced by now, but I know there's naysayers and skeptics out there that don't believe such things. I want you to notice something that Jesus said. Matthew 24, you got it? There we go. 24:14, we got it on the screen. Now, Jesus was preaching about end time events here. He was talking about what's going to happen at the very end, preparing us for such things. And notice this, and this gospel of the kingdom, the one he proclaimed, the one John proclaimed before him, and the apostles after them. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and say it with me, and then the end will come. So by Jesus saying, this gospel is going to be proclaimed all the way up till the end, should prove to us in and of itself, this is the message that's going to be proclaimed. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe it's a resurrected message. And there will be a revival of this gospel in the end times. Because this right here, in my opinion, is one of the reasons why the end has not come yet. It's because, number one, a message has not been proclaimed to the whole world. And number two, the right message has not been preached to the entire world. I'll tell you, when you start getting this gospel established in your heart and you understand it, there won't be parts of your Bible that you got to tear out because they don't fit into your theology. There won't be something that you're like, well, I don't understand what that means, because when you understand the kingdom of God and how things operate, like messages like repentance are not going to be difficult, because you're going to understand it's necessary. If somebody were to violate the laws of the land here in the United States of America, at least the way it should be, is they get locked up. It's treason. All these different things. It's the same message we're proclaiming. When we proclaim the kingdom of God, we are preaching Jesus, the King, is Lord. And it's not just for us to live our life and just have a good feel-good life here and so forth. It's about a kingdom being established here on the earth. It's about His way of doing and being right, being brought, as Pastor Robert said, through you into this world. So this is the message. It's the one we're supposed to be declaring. So we're going to get into in the weeks ahead talking about what it is, when it is, how it is. We're going to break down those parables that Jesus taught, and we're going to get a good grasp and understanding of what the kingdom of God is. But the first thing we got to establish ourselves in is knowing there is no other message. If I'm preaching anything else that's even biblical, it's simply something that pertains to this kingdom. But it's not the message in and of itself. Amen? So this is what we're establishing. Next week, you know what I'm going to establish you in? How we see this message in the Old Testament. Because we've established that it's in the New Testament, but you got to know something. There wasn't Jewish people that when Jesus would come and start talking to them about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and so forth, none of them responded with this. Tell us more about this kingdom stuff. We have never heard anything about this. You never see anybody talk about it like that, do you? Why? Because they knew it. It had been preached to them. They had heard it through the prophets. They had heard it through the Torah. So now we need to hear it through that as well, so we can build up to this place. And the Holy Ghost is so good to get us out of here 3 minutes.